The text is Matthew 13, reading from the 44th verse. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Here ends the text. In my family, carrying it too far became a proverbial saying. One child would make a funny statement, another would build on that, and the third who tried was always carrying it too far. Carrying it too far is the nature of parables. In order to bring heavenly realities into earthly life, Jesus carries it too far. The alls have it. Notice the preponderance of the word all in these parables. The man who finds the treasure in the field sells all to buy that field. The merchant looking for fine pearls sold everything to buy the pearl of great value. The net let down into the sea catches all kinds of fish. All things about these parables are understood by all those being literally discipled in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus doesn't say some or most, but carries it too far and talks about selling all to buy one thing, catching all kinds of people, and how all discipled by the kingdom understand all things about it. Remember, the subject here is the kingdom of heaven. These three parables are all about heaven. Who doesn't want to know more all they can about heaven? Contrary to a 1943 and a 1978 movie named Heaven Can Wait, no, it can't. Jesus is speaking these three parables to his disciples apart from the crowds. And his disciples are no different than you. They're up to their armpits in the world that they live in. They're concerned with politics. They're concerned with the declining state of youth. They're concerned with what's happening with prices, taxes, wages, the present and the future. Yet Jesus takes them away from all of that to tell them what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he carries it too far. Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. No, he carries it too far and says it's like a treasure forever hidden. Yet this forever hidden treasure is found and then is hidden again. First, the fact that what was forever hidden is found, that's over the top. Then rehiding what you found so you can dig it up or so it can't be dug up by whoever hid it, or so you can find it again, well, that makes sense, but then it brings up the ethical question. If inspecting a $1,000 car, you find a $5,000 Rolex in the trunk, can you put the Rolex in the wheel well and buy the car for $1,000? Don't go there. If you do, you miss the carrying it too far aspects of the parable. A man finds what cannot be found, then he rehides it. Then he sells all he has to buy the entire field. He buys all just to have it. Three times Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. So keep your eyes on that. Don't drift down or fall out of the heavenly realm to fallen man's default setting, which is, what am I supposed to do? Let this be about what Jesus plainly says it is. The kingdom of heaven is like a discriminating pearl merchant. Notice he is first described as looking for fine pearls, plural. He expects that he's going to find more than one fine pearl. But instead, he finds one of such great value to him that it's worth all he has. When Powerball came to Louisiana in 1995, I remember reading about a guy who mortgaged his $14,000 house to buy tickets. He didn't win. Watch Antiques Roadshow. Episodes from 15 years earlier show you the value they gave in 2002, and then they show you the value today. How many times do they play the sad sound indicating the object lost value? My point is, Jesus is carrying it too far to have the kingdom of heaven portrayed as an expert in pearls who knows there are many fine pearls, but sells everything he has to just buy one. That's what an uneducated Cajun does. That's what an amateur antiquer would do. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a very discriminating pearl merchant. But even this isn't carried far enough for Jesus. He says not only is the kingdom of heaven like a discriminating pearl merchant, it's like an indiscriminate net. Now this isn't a net like you or I are apt to see or use. This is the word for a dragnet, as opposed to a casting net. It would be dragged toward shore by two boats a distance apart, maybe as much as a half mile away from each other. Weighted down to the bottom, nothing escapes a net like this. The good, the bad, the ugly all get caught up. See if you can find a pre-1988 video of commercial fishing for redfish. These types of massive nets were banned in 1988 to fish for redfish because only 2% of the fish could get away from them. Watch and you'll see the point Jesus is emphasizing here about the kingdom of heaven. It catches all. Jesus is the speaker of the parables, but do you see Jesus? You do know the parable of the sower is not a how-to on planting seed. You do know that the parable of the lost sheep is not a DIY instructional on finding lost sheep, right? So the parable of hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the dragnet are not respectively about how to find treasure, pearls, or catch fish. It got to be about Jesus because all scripture is about him. The written word testifies to the incarnate word. Like the Greeks in John 12, we would see Jesus. But where? Well, who did both sell all and forever sells all? The treasure that was forever hidden is bought by one decisively selling all, but the pearl of great price, that's bought by one who forever sells all. There's also a difference in the buying. The hidden treasure is bought in the past tense. He sells all whatsoever he has and buys that field. As for the pearl, he forever sells all things whatsoever he has, and he bought it, past tense. You see both aspects? When God the Son took on flesh and blood in the virgin's womb, he did the equivalent of burning his boats. There was no going back. There was no putting off flesh and blood again. You know how in the Star Trek, the disembodied alien takes up residence in a human only to find it's too cramped, too limiting, too disgusting? Well, the alien gets out. Well, Jesus could not. He sells and sold everything permanently. Yes, Jesus is the one who did sell selectively everything once and for all and forever. Though God of God, light of light, very God of very God, Jesus did not think equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he sold those possessions to live in a humble way on the earth. He sold his right to fully use his powers as the King of heaven so he could live in your place in the mire and mud of this fallen world. He sold all those possessions so he could take on all your responsibilities. He took on himself all your do's, don'ts, shoulds, and oughts. He took on everything that God required in the law of humanity. You know how you sometimes feel, and rightly so, I might add, that you can't turn around without breaking one of God's commandments? That's reality. That's the truth. God has commanded a way for you to act, speak, and think in every situation all the time, and the only ones who get into heaven are those who do talk and think that way 24/7. That's what God himself says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So all you people out there who have your goal to be just a little bit better day by day, you are toast. You haven't carried the law far enough. So now we know who has to do the selling. So who does the buying? Who gave his life as a ransom? Who gave his body and shed his blood as a redeeming sacrifice, not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world? In Gethsemane, who demanded that sin, death, and the devil let his cowardly disciples go? Jesus is the one who bought on Good Friday, and he still buys today. Now, you got to be careful here. There's only one sacrifice for sin. There's only one sacrifice that satisfied God's wrath against fallen humanity, and that was one and done on the cross. There is not an ongoing payment for sins. The redemption of humanity is not on a payment plan. However, you don't want to think it's too late for you. You haven't missed being purchased by Jesus' holy life and innocent death. Jesus did keep in your place all the commandments that you can, even if you have denied his payment right up to this very moment. In the 60s and 70s, there were stories of Japanese soldiers on remote Pacific islands who came out of the jungle to surrender. Some had finally come to terms with the fact that Japan lost. Others reportedly did not know the war was over. The point being is that the war really was over. There was peace between Japan and the United States, even if that soldier didn't believe it or know it. See how this is carrying it too far? Jesus didn't just purchase and win some or most or believers or Lutherans with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He purchased and won all. Come out of the jungle. Come out of the jungle where the mud of sin is caked on you. Come out of the jungle where the vines of Satan entangle you. Come out of the jungle where death sleeps close by every night. You're not carrying this far enough unless you see who the owner of the house is at the end. Who is the one who doesn't throw anything away? Who is unlike the fisherman, who I'll translate it the same way, who is unlike the fisherman who cast the worthless away? Who is unlike the angels at the end of the age who, same word, cast the wicked into hell forever? Who is the one, same word, who cast out of his literally treasure, new and old? And the word treasure brings you back to the first parable. Whenever I clean my garage, which is seldom to never, I run up against the same foreboding things. I have tools from my dad that I don't even know how to use. I have wooden fishing lures from both grandfathers. I have things that I've moved from Indiana to Texas to Michigan to Louisiana to Texas and never ever used. But I can't bear to throw them away. My things are mostly junk things, but Jesus carries it too far. He knows of no junk in his garage. He treasures all that he has redeemed. And who is that? All. You want to really, really go too far? Look at your bulletin cover. I'm no artist, but that's a coffin on the front. And this is the artwork the artist drew for this particular text. The treasure hidden in the field is a coffin. Now, who but the Lord who swallowed death can find new things in an old coffin? Who but the Lord of life would sell everything to buy a dead thing? Who but the Lord who wishes to carry the whole world to heaven would carry things this far? Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.